If it feels like no one understands your problems or cares to listen, if it feels like there is no one else in this world who has gone through what you have, if you feel like you're so close to giving up but still holding on, Cafe with Monica was made for you. I'll show you how to deal with the everyday and not so everyday situations that surface in the lives of millennials. By sharing my experiences and knowledge, I hope to inform, inspire, and provide solutions to problems that may seem out of reach. So grab your coffee or drink of choice and let's just talk about it. Welcome to Cafe with Monica. This is episode 28. I am Monica, your host, a millennial helping millennials to hashtag just talk about it over coffee. In this episode, I have Melissa Bridges, and we're going to talk about her story growing up in deaf culture, being a CODA, and what does that mean, and what have been her experiences. So stay tuned to listen to this episode. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Today I have Melissa Bridges with me. Melissa is a certified ASL interpreter, and her story is a little bit unique. And she's going to share a little bit about that and kind of the community that she kind of has immersed herself in, that she grew up in. Melissa is actually one of my coworkers. Is not going to be my coworker anymore. Sadly, she's leaving. But I'm really excited to get to interview her and to be able to share her story and kind of shed light a little bit more about the deaf community. Welcome, Melissa.
Hi, yes. I'm excited to answer questions and go through this with you. Yeah.
Thank you so much for doing this. So first things first is whenever I was first introduced to a CODA, and I didn't even know what that was, I was like, are you guys part of this like secret, you know, like group that nobody else knows about? So can you tell us a little bit about what CODA stands for, the acronym?
Yeah. So CODA means child of deaf adult. And really, that means anybody who has a deaf parent, but it's especially used when talking about hearing children of deaf adults, because we're unique in that we grow up in deaf culture, we learn the language, and we have access to this whole world that most people don't even know about. So that's why we have a special acronym just for us, and we have our own little, you know, subculture almost, where if I say CODA, if I meet a CODA, we can instantly bond just over being a CODA together. That's like, we have a CODA card.
A CODA card?
No, not an actual card.
But like, oh my God, you do? That's
like
so cool.
A metaphorical card. Like,
yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, because you guys grow up in a pretty unique way. I mean, the only way that I can compare this is growing up, I mean, in another language, growing up learning Spanish, and then having to interpret everything to my like grandmother or people who didn't know the language. So were there any challenges like growing up, you know, with your parents, and just what were some of the challenges that you've kind of encountered?
I think the first thing is that, you know, you learn that you're different, and people always react really weird to it. I never know how people are going to respond when I tell them that I have deaf parents. Especially when I was growing up, it was always pity. Always, oh, poor you. Oh, that's so sad to hear. It was always sometimes even just straight up concern, like, are you being fed? Like, just like kind of stuff I never understood why people thought that, because, you know, that was how I grew up. It was totally normal to me. I never knew anything other than that. And it took me a long time to understand why people would talk to me that way and how to respond back to them. And that was probably the biggest challenge, is just learning how to respond to others and teach them. You know, just because my parents are deaf doesn't mean they weren't capable parents. I think the funniest thing I ever got is a lot of times when I was in elementary school, I would have people legitimately worried about, you know, how did you get here? Your parents are deaf. They can't drive. How did you get here? Is anybody going to take you home? Like, and I was like, yes, I've been going to school this whole semester. No problem. Yes, my parents can take me back and forth. Yes, they can drive. Just like the most simple things that I thought were absolutely normal were just totally bizarre to other people. And learning how to navigate that world was interesting.
Yeah, because I feel like, I mean, people see deafness as a disability and they see it as not being capable of doing all these things. And then, you know, for somebody who doesn't know, who didn't grow up in that culture, they don't know. Yeah, like I understand coming like their perspective as far as like not knowing like, well, how do they do this? Like, this is a challenge, because all we know is what we've heard in the media, or unless we know somebody who has grown up with parents who are deaf, would be able to relate. Other than that, we would just, you know, say things that are not that nice, or not, you know, like not be able to say the right things, or kind of walk on eggshells with them because you don't want to disrespect them. But I'm curious to know, did you learn to sign or speak first? Because I'm just like curious about that.
I learned to sign first. And I think that's why there's that whole baby sign mm-hmm. language fad now, where I say it like it's a bad thing, but it's not. It's a great thing, because babies they develop the hand coordination, the dexterity you need to sign before they can develop the skills needed to actually, you know, create words, to create speech. So they can communicate to their parents, you know, just the very simple signs, mom, dad, milk, more, please, hungry, whatever, and make their needs known. So that's pretty great. So that's what I did growing up. You know, I learned really basic signs first growing up, and then later learned how to talk. And the funny thing is, I probably was like way more fluent until I started school. As soon as I started school, it was totally different, because I spent all day just talking to people in English, and doing that all day long, and then going back home and having to put back on my, you know, signing hat was weird. And so that's probably like, I probably almost like regressed and went back to like signing everything completely wrong once I started doing that. And, but eventually you get to where there's a balance. It all kind of, it's always, you've always, everybody has different parts of their life. And now that I work in that world and I live in that world, I feel like that's sign language is almost as equal as English when I'm talking with somebody.
Yeah. And so you learn how to sign first. Would you ever like go to school and just sign, and like, because you would think that that's like the universal language, like that's what people do. And, you know, I'm just thinking like you being, you know, in kindergarten and signing, or, you know, in first grade and signing, and the teacher's like, what? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened.
But because you think that that's, you know, that's normal. That's something that it is normal in your family life.
Yeah. And, you know, my parents, they spent time with other deaf people, and or they were adults who could sign. And all my friends growing up were either people who had deaf parents or they were deaf themselves. So that was my whole world. it was a huge game changer when I went into school and learned that, oh, the world is not what I think it is. So I think it's almost like at first there was a moment where I realized, okay, my parents can't hear, but everybody can sign. That's what I thought. Like, everybody in my whole life can sign. That means everybody in the world can sign. It's just that some people can hear and some people can't. And that's how the world works. That's what I thought until, you know, I started going to school, and we would sign or like if I was at like the store and I would tell, the cashier, "Oh, I want that." And I would say something in like sign language to them and they would just look at me weird. And my parents would be like, "Stop, use your words." Or and I'd be like, "No, I don't wanna." 'Cause, I was like, "Why do I have to talk? I don't want to. Everybody knows sign language anyway." And I actually have a funny story about that.
Yeah, share, share.
So, it didn't happen to me, it happened to my brother. When he started school, what happened is his very first day of like kindergarten or whatever, he went into the class and he had to go to the bathroom. So he was polite. My parents taught him how to be mannerly, and he raised his hand and he started signing bathroom. And he just kept signing bathroom, and the teacher was not paying attention. She was not responding to him. So he's like, "Okay, that means I have to wait. She obviously knows sign language. She knows I'm telling her I have to go to the bathroom. I have to wait." And he ended up peeing his pants the first day. And my parents got called in by the teacher to meet with him. She was like, "There's something wrong with your son. He wet his pants. He doesn't even know how to, he's not even potty trained." All that, they were so worried and they thought all these bad things. And they just asked my brother, they were like, "Why did you do that?" And he's like, "This teacher's so mean. I was asking her all day if I could go to the bathroom and she wouldn't let me." So it's
Aw,
definitely
poor
a
thing.
huge change, just like learning that the whole world does not sign and that actually it's pretty rare. So you have to get used to using your voice. So that was a huge life change.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I'm sure after that he started using his voice.
Yes, he learned the hard
That's
way.
hilarious. That's hilarious. Yeah, like that was gonna be my next question. Like, how old were you when you realized that your parents couldn't hear?
Yeah, so I think it was probably a little bit before then. Like I don't know how I didn't know my parents couldn't hear. Looking back, it should have been extremely obvious. Like my mom talks a certain way. Like I can understand her, but if you just met her at first, you wouldn't understand. And that should have been like my first tip. But nope, I had no idea. And the funny thing is, we went to a church where the pastor was deaf. And so he would sign and he had his wife voice interpret everything he was saying. So for some reason, I had no idea he was deaf. And I was talking, someone told me, "Oh, he's deaf." And I was like, "No, he's not. I hear him talking and preaching every Sunday." And they're like, "No, that's the interpreter voicing for him." And I had no idea. And I was so amazed.
You just thought he had a really like a female voice, a
Yeah.
really soft voice.
I have no idea. Looking back, like it's extremely obvious. But I specifically remember that moment and being so shocked and ashamed because everybody's like, "This, that's so obvious." But yeah, there was definitely that moment when I realized, oh, okay, they can't hear. And you try to get away with things at that point. There were certain things, I wasn't allowed to call my sister stupid because for some reason we kept calling each other stupid all the time. So that became like the banned word in our house. So to avoid getting in trouble, we would just cover our mouths and say, "You're stupid," or whatever. And we thought we were so smart. But my mom would always catch us every single time, and I couldn't figure it out. I was like, "She's a
How did she
genius."
do it?
But obviously, she knew anytime we covered our mouths with our hands, we were saying something we weren't supposed to be saying. We were kids. We were not that sneaky, and so she always
Yeah.
caught us every single time.
How was that? How was that, when your And you're growing up thinking that this is what everybody does, right? Everybody knows sign language. And then you're kind of taken back after, okay, actually, no, people here and my family is different. How did that work out when you were having to communicate with other hearing people or with your parents? Did you feel like people thought less of your parents? Did you feel like you kind of had to be a different role? Kind of like an interpreter for your parents, you know, what how was kind of like that, navigating that?
Yeah, it was I feel like I responded differently in each situation. At first you realize you're different, and as kids, the first response is always going to be, I'm going to hide that. Anything that's weird about me, I've got to hide away. So as I learned that, okay, other parents aren't deaf, they don't sign, okay, I should just not mention that school. So that's what I probably, you learn how to like hide that side of you, I guess. And but you also learn how to talk about it in ways that make people comfortable. Especially like there's something about people always talk to whoever, whoever can talk. So my parents are deaf. Me and my two siblings are hearing, so they would always talk to us wherever, whoever was talking to us. So a lot of times we'd be like eating out at a restaurant, and the waiter would always, talk to us. Even if we're like little kids, 5 or 6 years old, we would get the checks. They would just give it to us because we can talk and that's what they're comfortable with, even though we have no idea what to do with that. We're little kids. No, we didn't know what to do. And so that looking back, that was really weird, but we thought it was funny. I would just ask my mom, hey, give me money so I can pay it, and then I would pay it. But my parents honestly were really careful not to put me into the interpreter role, I think. But that was a struggle, 'cause even if my mom was willing to find other ways to communicate, she would write back and forth. She would always try to make calls on her own through Relay and do all these things, but people just aren't comfortable doing it differently. I don't, even just writing back and forth, that seems so simple, but people were just extremely uncomfortable with it, so they would always resort to talking to me or one of my siblings instead. And so, yeah, that is weird, especially when, my mom was upset about something and I had to pretend to be angry as a kid at that person, even though I mean, you know me, I don't get angry at people. I don't play that well. So my mom would be like, tell them I'm upset that they got my order wrong. And I was like, it's you kind of messed up. But it's easy to misunderstand. It's miscommunication. And my mom's standing right there. She can see, and she's like, no, tell them they messed up. They got it wrong.
Because she could, like she's seeing the facial expression and she's like, no, you're not saying it like you're mad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, have you ever seen that movie? What is it called? Spanglish? Have you ever seen it?
Yes,
Okay, so
yes,
there's that
yes,
part where
yes,
she's
yes.
like, interpret it exactly as I say. And I feel like that's what, sometimes my parents wish they could get out of me, but they never had that expectation of me as their interpreter. They knew, first and foremost, I was their daughter. And if it was something where it was inappropriate for me to be there interpreting, they would make sure that they had another way to communicate, that, I wasn't put into awkward situations, like them talking about budget issues, or if my mom was getting bad news at the doctor or anything like that, that wasn't appropriate for a child to be there, she would find another way. So I feel, I think I'm lucky for that.
Yeah, because I feel like Yeah, I love that you mentioned that movie because that's a perfect example. Like when the mom is telling the daughter, and she only speaks Spanish, and she's just trying to kind of tell him that I'm mad, she's like, and then she's like doing this, right, doing all the hand motions that she's mad, but some of those conversations where your children should not be, I mean, at a certain age shouldn't be involved in that, and I think that's always so hard for anybody in any different language, who is a child and their parent might know a different language and they, know the dominant language or whatever it is. And they have to kind of go into that role sometimes. But I'm glad that your parents did that. I think that's an awesome thing to do because they still kept, they still kept you as you are a kid. Like yes, you can help us, but no, first and foremost, you are a kid and you are going to experience life as a kid and not have to interpret for us or deal with these grown-up topics so early on.
Exactly. My parents always tried to do that. It's really more of whoever they were talking to that would, they're it's just a lot of times people are more comfortable with what they know, and so they were just uncomfortable talking to my parents and would rather talk to me or one of my siblings, even though we were, even when we were young and we're not ready at all to be the
Deal with
spokesperson.
that. Yeah. And you weren't, you were just circumstance. You were able to communicate with them. And yeah, I feel like a lot of people do that, when they're not able to communicate with somebody, they're like, okay, I'm just gonna ignore them and I'm gonna talk to somebody that I can communicate with. And sometimes that is so rude, when people are just ignoring, ignoring your parents or and then trying to focus on you to tell them what they need from you. I can see that it can be annoying. I mean, it was annoying for like when I would go to the doctor with my grandma and my grandma would be like, okay, I need you to tell this to the doctor. And my grandma did put me in that role. She did put me in the role and I'm like, what the heck is diabetes? Like, I don't
No, that's terrible. Oh my goodness.
But like little things like that. But that's how I learned Spanish because I learned English first. And Spanish was my second language, which most people think that Spanish was my first language. But I kind of learned them at the same time. So sometimes I'll mess up a word or say something because I learned it in two different languages, and it just kind of like I don't know if they call that code switching. I don't know. I think that's the term. But anyway, I wanted to ask you, and I don't think this is, I don't know. I'm reading this question and I'm like, maybe that's not so good to ask. But the question was, what are the benefits of being raised, by deaf parents? And I feel like your parents are parents regardless, but if there's something that's unique about them that you could share that, you're like, oh man, if I wouldn't have grown up this way, I wouldn't have been able to do this.
Well, obviously, it's kind of decided my career choices. I mean, like all the jobs I've had, pretty much. So, like you said, I'm a sign language interpreter and I do voc rehab for deaf and hard of hearing specifically. So, all those decisions I made when I was thinking about, how can I work within this community? And partially because, this is great. I'm already fluent in this language that a lot of people aren't fluent in. But also because, I'm really passionate about this community because it's what I grew up in and I love it. Aside from that, there's a lot of things that are just really unique about growing up in a deaf family. I feel like almost like we are closer as a family because we share this culture that not I can't really relate to with many other people outside of my family or, other deaf people or people who are familiar with the culture. So it made us really close as a family unit growing up. Just knowing that we shared that special world together. But also, there's just certain things that now that I'm a CODA, when I meet other CODAs, I can say, don't you remember having experienced this? And all CODAs can get it. Like, for example, if you are home and you run out of toilet paper, you can just shout and your parents will come bring you more toilet paper or whatever.
True.
You can't do that if you're deaf, your parents are deaf. You find a way. Or you hope your siblings are there. Like, there's like all these small things, like, you know, my mom doing vacuuming in the middle of the night and not realizing it's super loud and will obviously wake everybody in the house up. Stuff like that, just unique experiences that we can share with one another and other CODAs and feel that kind of community.
Yeah, and culture, because they share similar experiences to you, and they share, I mean, like, if you told me that, I would be like, what? Like, if you would just say, like, you know, a joke or something about what happened in your childhood, and I wouldn't get it because I wasn't part of that community, it's kind of like, yeah, you're part of this same group, and it's nice for people to know and have shared similar experiences to you. It makes you feel, to be open with them versus other people who might not be part of your culture. I think it's kind of similar to other people that have, you know, learned other languages. Same thing is like, we have like a bunch of like funny memes and things like that, mm-hmm. that are all natural to growing up in a Hispanic culture. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure same thing with you, like, yeah. growing up in deaf culture. But you also are so unique because you also get to experience the hearing world, right? And you're able to, share that experience as well and help people who are hard of hearing and all that. So I think that you have like awesome, like the best of both worlds, I guess, because you're able to communicate in that specific language and not everybody can. And I know it's not easy. So kudos to that. Hello, my fellow millennial. This is Monica. I hope you're enjoying this episode. Quick break here. If you're new or have been an active listener to the podcast, I would love to work with you. I'm a licensed professional counselor in the state of Texas, and I have officially launched my private practice in Dallas, where I provide individual therapy both in person or online if you're in Texas. I work with female millennial entrepreneurs. I work with individuals who are struggling with anxiety, depression, self-esteem, and overall life transitions. I work with the Latinx population, and my sessions are available in Spanish. I know it's hard to just the thought of having somebody, an outsider, inside your life, but if you're feeling like you're not sure if therapy's the right fit for you, I offer a free 15-minute consultation so I can answer all your questions. It's okay to have fear. I've been there, and that's why I would love to help. I'll have a link for the 15-minute consultation on the show notes, or you can also find the link at my Instagram account at Cafe with Monica. So sign up for a free 15-minute consultation. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening, and let's get back to this episode. I wanted to ask you, because I wanted to know some things that people may not know about CODAs that they should know, or, you know, things that they shouldn't ask CODAs. I don't know.
No, that's actually a really good question. You'd be surprised. Probably the weirdest thing is, like, I've had ASL students, so they're like studying the language, and they've mm-hmm. maybe taken like a deaf culture class, so they kind of learn mm-hmm. about CODAs in that class. And I had somebody I had just met for the first time ever, and they, you know, had found out that I had deaf parents because it was like a deaf event. And they, just at those deaf events, what you do is you say, you know, how did you learn sign language or whatever, or how did you get into this, and are you deaf or are you hearing, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, one of the first things you say is, you know, I'm a CODA, blah, blah, blah. And so the ASL student asked me, oh, do you feel resentful towards your grandparents? Because that's what my book said about CODAs. I was like, what?
What?
Don't ask people those kinds of questions when you first meet them. Like, but that was probably the weirdest question I ever got. don't, if you're an ASL student and you're studying a class, don't read some stereotype in a book and then go ask a CODA if this applies. Just don't do that. But also, like, in general, what people should know about CODAs. I guess we're all different. Not every CODA is going to be an interpreter like I am.
I love that you say not every CODA is going to be an interpreter. Not every CODA is going to work with, you know, in the deaf community or work for, you know, helping.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a huge part. It's always going to be a huge part of your identity. But just because you grew up in that culture doesn't mean that's the only part of, you know, who I am or who any CODA is. You can be anything you want. That's the great thing about being a CODA. You have so many options open to you. You have both cultures open to you, both worlds. And nobody should be able to say, like, this is what a CODA should look like. And this is what you have to do. You're obligated to do this now because you grew up this way. So, like, don't expect that of any CODA. We're all different. We all have our own way of living.
But yeah, I think that knowing that every person is just like any individual is unique. Just because you learned a language doesn't mean that you're primarily going to seek any type of employment within that culture or within that, you know, interpreting, you know, that language. I think it's awesome when people do, because it just makes it so much more inclusive, you know, for everybody, when more people understand different languages. But at this end of the day, I want people to follow what they want to do. And I think maybe some CODAs, you know, want to, I don't know if there's this kind of like expectation of like, because you know ASL, you should be doing a job that is supporting people in the deaf community. I don't know if that was something that you heard growing up, whether that be from your parents or from any relative or whatever it is. Because it goes back to, you know, I think parents are going to have expectations of us, but we're always going to be able. I hope that every parent allows their child to do whatever they want to do, irregardless of, you know, the community that they're in.
Yeah, I mean, my parents were really great about that. You know, whatever you want to do, you can, you know, be whatever, anything in the world. They're one of those people, like, you can, there's no limits, anything, literally. Definitely, there's just, like, you feel like that's what you're supposed to do a little bit, like, you know, you're, because there's not any other way to grow up bilingual. You know, you're either deaf or you're hearing. So the only way you learn sign language is if you're deaf or you're an interpreter and you study it and it's your second language. So a lot of interpreters, they have to learn it as a second language and work really, really hard to become fluent at it. Unless you are one of the extremely rare people that are born into a deaf family and then you become bilingual. So it's not like other languages where you have just anybody who grows up in that culture is going to be able to have that language. It's not like that. So we have a lot less, when we're looking at interpreters, CODAs are the only ones that are actually native speakers that are interpreters. Well, actually, that's not true. There's CDIs now, which are certified deaf interpreters, and they basically take there's a hearing interpreter that will hear the message, put it into sign language, and then there's a certified deaf interpreter will see the signed message and then sign it into more American sign language, which would be more like a gestural sign language in a way that other deaf people can better understand, because deaf people are native speakers, whereas other interpreters are not. So yes, there is that one exception, and actually becoming a lot more popular. It's a good thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there is that, and you know, there. So I think when I was trying to decide what to be when I was growing up, I was like, there's sign language interpreter. I was like, no, that's too expected. I can't do that. But I did end up doing it anyway. And then there was...
That's what everybody would expect, don't worry. I didn't think outside the box.
It was like, I can't do that, but I did it because it was just, the doors opened up and it just worked out. And then there was deaf education teacher. That was another thing, but my sister did that, so I couldn't do that either. So that's how I got into
that's voc taken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then voc rehab is something, I mean, I didn't learn until later on, like, that this was even a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a hidden career path that it takes a certain type of person to do. So I'm so glad that you were part of it. I wanted to know if I know this, but I want our listeners to know what the difference is between a person who, I'm gonna put quotes on this, like lowercase D deaf or capitalized D deaf or hard of hearing. Like, what are the, I guess, if, in your words, what would you kind of help people explain that?
The thing is, deaf people don't grow up like me. I was actually really fortunate to grow up in the deaf community, but a lot of deaf people don't grow up in the community, and they may not strongly identify with the language and the culture because they grew up more in the hearing world. They may be more oral, where they prefer to read lips and talk, or sign more exact English, which is less sign language and less follows that more cultural language. And those people will be called little D deaf, where they don't strongly identify with the culture, and they don't feel that they're really a part of the deaf world. They probably spend most of their time with other people who are hearing, and they feel comfortable with that, and they don't really seek out deaf events, deaf cultural events, so they don't really feel like they identify with that group as much. So big D deaf would be more people who did grow up in that community, or maybe they found it later on. There's a lot of deaf people who, you know, grew up in the school system, and they were the only deaf people. Like, they may have been the only deaf person in that class, or they only had a few deaf people they grew up with, and they may not have grown up feeling strongly identifying with that culture, and then later finding this and kind of growing into that deaf identity. Either way, those people would be referred to as big D deaf, where they're more of that strong American Sign Language, which is less following English, which is more cultural, more focused on identifying with other deaf people, spending time with other deaf people, and doing the things that fit within that culture, storytelling, etc. So that would be big D deaf. And hard of hearing people are people who don't fit in either world. It's really, really difficult. My dad is actually hard of hearing. And so he grew up where he was oral. So he went into speech therapy to learn how to talk. And he learned how to read lips. But as you know, really, you can only, with, you are the best lip reader in the world, you can only catch 30% of what someone is saying. So it's really frustrating growing up that way and not feeling like you can really keep up with the conversation when people are talking and communicating back and forth, and also not really fitting into the deaf world because that language and that culture isn't really your own either. So hard of hearing people can be people who sign. They can be people who don't sign. Like, my dad learned sign language later on when he went to college. And so they are just the in-betweeners. And
the in-betweeners.
Yeah, and they each, they can relate anywhere on the scale. And so really, it's each deaf person you meet with is going to feel differently about that. And that's not really something you go up to somebody and say, hey, are you a big D deaf or a little D deaf? Or how right. You don't just like go up to somebody and say that. But sometimes, you know, the deaf person might be like, yeah, I'm big D deaf. Yeah, deaf power or whatever. And then, okay, yes, done. I get it.
Okay, all right. Okay. And so I do want to touch on this because so many of us, we don't mean to be offensive. We don't mean to say offensive language or, you know, offensive phrases. But because we're human beings and sometimes we just put a foot in our mouth, what are some things that people need to stop using when referring to someone who is hard of hearing or deaf? That you're like, you hear it and you're like, oh, it's cringe.
The worst one is deaf and dumb, definitely. You know, just obviously that just doesn't sound good. Nobody likes to be called dumb. And you don't really hear that often anymore either. It's a very outdated phrase. But deaf and dumb, definitely do not say that. If somebody can't talk, they're not dumb. They're, you know, that's not a term you use. You wouldn't say handicapped. That doesn't make any sense to a deaf person. They don't feel like, most deaf people don't feel like they have a disability at all. So handicapped or anything like that does not make sense. Hearing impaired, most deaf people don't like that term, especially if they're big D deaf, because it implies that there's something wrong with them. And deaf people are generally very proud of their culture, of who they are. And if you ask most deaf people, they wouldn't change that. They like that they grew up that way and that they're part of the special culture. And they just feel like they can do anything just slightly different. So don't say anything like that. Never offer them anything in Braille because
that's hilarious.
Does not help. but it happens literally all the time.
Why?
So much. Never ask them about drive-thrus. I get that question all the time.
Like, about drive-thru? Yes. Like, what do you
do? Drive-thrus. Like, what do you do in a drive-thru? Well, just...
I have... what do you do in a drive-thru?
Well, there's options. I mean, like, you can just go in. Like, that's...
Yeah, I mean, pretty yeah, obvious. But then like that, like, yeah, but I feel like that takes away the convenience. I mean, I guess you could just go up to the front and like leave a paper. This is my order. I mean, there's ways. I love that, like, you know, companies like Starbucks are starting to be inclusive, you know, because it's like you want to share that convenience with everybody. You want accessibility for everybody, regardless of the language, you know, that they speak or the language, you know, the language or communication way that they use. So I think that the companies are starting to get with it. Not, I mean, not a lot, but I mean, they're starting to. I hope that your things become more accessible for everybody in the community. And the last thing that I wanted to ask you, is there any advice for those of us interacting with deaf people for the first time? I mean, I don't know if I told you about the Uber story, how we got into an Uber, and I guess this was, I feel like I've been around deaf people before, but for some reason, I already had some alcohol, that's one.
Okay, yeah.
And I got into the car and I just couldn't stop, and this is like so bad, I couldn't stop wanting to laugh, but then I felt bad for wanting to laugh because knowing that they couldn't hear. And then so I kept just, I was doing like this and covering my mouth, and it was just like, it was an awkward thing for me. And then I don't, like, my husband was there, and I'm just looking at, he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, but I just feel really bad, but then I want to laugh, but then if I laugh, you wouldn't be able to hear, and then I'm a horrible person for doing that. And then I kid you not, I was, like, I got out of the the car, and I think I signed thank you or something offensive. I do not know. I don't even remember, but Adam's like, I didn't know you know how to sign. I'm like, I don't know what the heck I just told this person. And I feel like he looked at me funny. And the thing is, we were also afraid because there was a noise coming out of his car. And it was didn't sound like a bad, it sounded like a bad noise. Yeah. So we were like, what do we do? You know, we were like, what do we do? Mm-hmm. But that was the first time that I guess I've ever been in a car with somebody who was driving, you know, who was deaf. And I was just like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I kind of like I'm not going to lie. The first thing that I felt was unsafe. Mm-hmm. Is that yeah, like that was the first thing. But yeah, so what I'm asking is what, you know, what can people do or some advice or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. That was a long question.
No. Yeah. So like deaf people have grown up in the hearing world. They mm-hmm. know how to interact with people who don't know sign language. And they are used to being around deaf people. They know how to answer questions if you have any questions, and 90% of the time if you ask a stupid question they are gonna be gracious. Like, you know, if you ask me a stupid question on a bad day, like, you know, it's gonna be a different story, but you know, 90% of the time they're gonna be gracious. Mm-hmm. They're gonna explain, and they're just gonna be happy that you're, you know, asking and you're interested in learning. Mm-hmm. So you know, if you have a question, just ask. If you hear a weird noise and you think they don't know, just be like, hey, did you know that this noise is happening? They might know. They might be able to feel the vibration and be like, yeah, I just don't have the money to fix it right now, which, you know, honestly, a lot of us do that. Or they might.
Oh, yeah.
Or they might legitimately not know. And that might be a great thing that you did that day. But, you know, and don't be so worried about how you're acting, because, again, like, deaf people do this on a daily basis. They are the experts yeah. at introducing people to their culture every day. And so don't be worried. They will guide you through it. They will let you know if you just ask. That's all you have to do. It's like, you know, how, what's the best way to communicate with you? And that's going to be different for every deaf right. person.
Mm-hmm.
And talk directly to them, treat them like a person, you know, don't talk about them around them like they're not there, because they will be able to read your body language and kind of figure that out. And don't talk to others about them. Like, so if it's me and my husband and we're somebody or somewhere and people are like trying to talk to him and they just keep talking to me instead of yeah. making eye contact with him, that's kind of weird. So like, make eye contact, speak directly to them. Don't talk to someone else like they're not there. Make them included in part of the conversation.
Yeah. And this and this is also when you're talking, you know, to a deaf person and you have an interpreter. I've had to learn too, because it's like, it's like you want to,
mm-hmm.
you know, look at the interpreter, because, you know, after they start interpreting what they were signing, but it's like, no, keep looking at the person. And that's something that I've caught myself doing. The final question, and this is something that I ask everybody when I interview them, is what is one thing that you wish people would talk about more? This could be related to deaf culture. This could be related to anything, any topic that you're passionate about.
Yeah, so there's lots of things I think that people just kind of like avoid about deaf people, because they just feel like they can't do that, I can't say that. But like, if you accidentally say to somebody that's deaf, like, did you hear about this, or have you heard blah blah blah, they're not going to be like, oh, so insulting, I hate you now. No, they're not going to care. They get that that's a normal way to talk, and that's uh-huh. normal way to say things. And you know, if there's anything that you're like, I don't think deaf people can do that, and you're just really confused, like, you, that was honest, like, when you were saying, honestly, you felt a little bit concerned, because you were like, how do you drive when you can't hear? That's a normal thing. And the way that you said that, I think, was great, because you actually talked about it instead of just leaving it out there like so confused.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I wish I could cite studies, but there are studies out there. It's just that the results are like not exactly the same, but basically mm-hmm. it's kind of like, as long as it's in the peripherals, deaf people can it's almost like maybe notice things that they pay more attention to their peripheral vision than hearing people do. And that's because of that environmental awareness factor. They have to just scan their environment more. So that helps with driving and but there's like all these things out there that people are like, if I don't know how that works, I won't say anything when it comes to deaf people. And that's what makes things awkward. That's what makes leads to these assumptions that are incorrect.
And stereotypes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so if you're not scared to just be like, how does this work? You know, then if you say that, then I can tell you, oh, this is how it works. And then ta-da, we're all happy.
Thank you, Melissa, for doing this. I'm so excited to put your episode out and so that people can hear. Thanks for listening to Cafe with Monica. This was made for you. So be sure to visit cafewithmonica.com to access the show notes, where I write tips and additional resources for this episode in a location convenient for you. And if you love this episode and found value and can't wait to hear more, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. It would mean the world to me. I can't wait for you to listen to the next